telephone number. His office. No, I don't want one either. You just handle that. I'll let it go one. I have a book here.
Hello?
Hello, Mr. Preston.
How's my sweetheart?
Oh, I'm just fine. As a man can be, and be reducing all the time, and...
Well, I got to start that. I just really got started. I wish I didn't have so many damn problems.
It's hard, good. I told my beloved friend, Jeff Kellum, yesterday. I said, Kellum, will I do anything to please the crowd? I said, will I make an ass out of myself? He said, no, not at all. He said, in the show business, you are what we call somebody to warm up. And he said, you did it. But the night before, Mr. President, they had all the big wigs in town from Houston, Dallas, Fort Worth, Amarillo, so forth, and they were introducing themselves by request of the chairman of the humble company and other chairman, the executive vice president. And so when they came to me, I just got up and said, Ed Clark, prominent conservative lawyer, Austin, Texas. And one man, they got mad about me saying that and challenged me on it. So yesterday morning, I introduced myself before the whole group. When I got up to introduce all the distinguished guests, from the governor on down, I said, Ed Clark, little liberal attorney. And then I told my old George Pearl joke about when I was going to have my name put on the door. Edward A. Clark, attorney and counselor at the law, notary in office, open, come in. And the fellow said, that'd be $15. I said, well, I had that much money. He said, well, I put it on by the word. I said, well, just put Ed Clark Hattie, H-E-T-Y. That'll be enough. And I said, that was a dollar and a half.
I started to come down there. I was talking to the governor about noon. He said he's going to make a speech. Yes. I thought, oh, God, that'd be a good thing for me to just walk and shake hands with all those fellows, because I was pretty happy about Texas, but nobody said anything, and I thought, well, they'd say I was trying to politic or something.
Well, it was a big group, and matter of fact, I thought along that line, I just knew it wouldn't do. People are funny, but since you all had told me when I was just fixing to go over there, and I thought that would be a nice thing for him and a nice thing for them to do, but I said, well, after all, I can't run everybody's business. I can't run my own. So I didn't say anything to him about inviting, but finally I turned up with Wayne Conley as my guest and Tom Seeley, who claimed that I wasn't a conservative lawyer, that he was.
He was a supporter of mine, wasn't he?
I don't know.
Yeah, he was. He was, and I think helped.
All of my information was to the contrary, that it doesn't fit for him.
Well, I think Allen got him to or something. I called Allen, and I think somebody told me that he said he couldn't carry Midland, but he's going to get us a few votes out there. And there were two or three ultra-conservatives that supported us in Midland.
Well,
I don't think they did.
We had a man out there that was supporting us named Rathman.
Yeah, he was another one. He's on some board or something.
But he told me during the campaign that his big problem, he got his throat cut out there and got people that wouldn't do something on account of keeping it. Tom was interested He was a big Bush leader, and then he for 4 months, the congressman out there, the Republican.
By God, I'm glad we got rid of him.
That's right. He's a good fella, and he will make a fine.
He's my kinfolks. He married my cousin.
Well, that's wonderful. He will make a fine,
He wasn't very much of a candidate, I didn't think. I watched him at the. I gave him every break in the world at El Paso, but he's not a very outgoing fella.
He will have to learn about that, he's a good man. That's, of course, the important thing. He's a man of goodwill, and he is respected.
Did you lose any money on the election?
No, I won all the way around I had some nut was calling up from the broker's office that I bet some money, and I just didn't know that it was I gave 7 to you on to 2 on you, and I had that for you to win nationally, and then I gave it on this book, and Alder Smith told me what his name was. He was putting money up down I got $5 off of him altogether. But I don't know him.
I called hell about the Yarbrough thing. Just they raised hell because I came down here trying to dictate, and some of our best friends got mad. But
well, that was right. I was talking to Mr. Gush yesterday about that angle. He called a good deal of hell, but Senator Yarbrough knows and told me very, very, very frankly yesterday that you pulled him across and that you made his
can you hook him in?
Sir?
Yeah, hook him in. They got Doug Wynn. I've been trying to get him all morning, and I want to thank you for a little old boy.
Oh, that's the problem of my life over there. What he suffered, I had to go over there. And last week, and Lila is sick and upset. I have a problem.
Yes, sir. Mr. Wynn is on now.
Doug?
Hello, sir.
How you doing, my friend?
Yes, fine, Mr. President.
I got your dad-in-law here on the phone, but I placed a call for you before it was him. But they
hello,
didn't know
Doug.
How to locate you.
Hello, Doug. Hello, Mr. Edward Clark. How you doing?
Yes,
sir?
Fine, my boy. I'm glad you get to talk to the President of the United States.
I'll tell you one thing. I am, too.
How's Miss Margaret?
Mama's just fine, Mr. President.
Miss Margaret, though, I'm talking about.
Oh, you mean Miss Margaret?
That's the little Margaret.
She is just fine. She was up and at them about 6:15 this morning.
Give her my love.
I certainly shall.
And how's Miss Leela?
Miss Leela's just fine.
Tell her hello.
I certainly will, sir.
Well, I'm mighty proud of you.
Mr. President, we did what we could. We just had a bad situation down here, and things are going to get better, but... I think this was one of them last gasps.
Well, they're going to get a lot better over the years. If you'll just look back at anybody that's been worth a damn in his life, he's done something that nobody approved of, hardly. I look back my 30 years, and the only things that I'm really proud of now are the things that we put it generally. They gave me hell for and investigated me for and fought me. Tried to say I caused a man-made flood and everything else, and you'll find 25, 30 years from now that all your life, the thing you'll be proudest of was that you just stood up and said that you want to be fair, and that you didn't ask for any special privileges for anybody, and you just asked to treat people like you're human, and if they had followed Mississippi's line, put it on a color basis, why, we got about to 15% of the population of the world, and the other 70-80% would whip hell out of us so quick we wouldn't know what happened. And if they want to put it on a color basis, why, they put it well outnumbered as they could see last November. And they've got to have some understanding, they've got to have some leadership, they've got to have some sympathy, and they've got to have some kindness. I talked to him in Georgia yesterday, and I called him in South Carolina. And I said, long as we're in the White House, why, the door's open to you, and you're not to...
That's wonderful. I'm glad
you're gonna
you
be treated with,
that
you're going to be treated with respect. That's why Lady Bird went through on a train. She didn't intend to carry a single damn state, but she said when a child is told that he ought to get out of the house, when he's slapped at, and when he's cut at, and when he's hit at, he finally gets free of where he's not wanted, nobody cares. Well, he goes off, and sometimes he don't come back. And said, I'm not going to let them go off. I want them to know that they're cared for. And we love them as long as I'm here. I love Alabama, and I love Mississippi. And I'm going and tell them so, and they can tell me to hell with you if they want to, but I'm still going to tell them. And she was mighty pleased. Said she felt more Christian when she got home and felt better. And the good people in those states that could see now, there are one or two that are real mean, that can't help it, but there's a lot of ignorance in this world, and you can't really hold a man that's finished the third grade responsible for something that he doesn't know. He's not really accountable for his acts. A lot of folks in Mississippi and Alabama have just heard nigger, nigger, nigger all their life, and they've lived with a majority of them, and they just know that it's not, they turn over everything to them, they got problems. And they haven't really given us our big problems since I've been president. This fellow Johnson has been pretty decent to me. He had supported me, but in talking to him, he's been judicious and fair. And the bright spot of all of it is that I think it, they'll call you a traitor, they'll call you a treason, they'll call you a socialist, they'll call you everything that you've heard, but they did that to me in Dallas, and I'm president. And they came around and they voted against me 60,000 4 years ago. They voted for me 30,000 last week. So it takes a little time, and you just do what I said election night. You just try to heal the wounds, try to bury the fusses, and just say, well, you might have been right. I just like this fella, and I knew him, and I know it when the time comes. He's not going to penalize Mississippi. He's not going to
beat him. Told him, Mr. President?
Yeah.
That I've been supporting you because I knew that you were going to be president of all the people. Now you've been elected, and I know you will be president of all the people.
I am. And we're gonna bring the businessmen in the front door of the White House, and they're going to sit in the cabinet room. We're going to bring the labor leaders in the front door, and they're going to sit in the next room. We're not going to tell one of them to slip out so the other one know they're there, and we're going to tell them both the same thing.
Yes, sir.
And we're going to let them know that the more business makes, well, the better off it is for us.
Wonderful.
The better labor is, well, the better off it is for us. And them try to get together and settle their own fights instead of trying to get the government mixed in, telling them, confiscating profit or telling labor what it's got to do. You all just argue it out among yourselves. But we're gonna encourage you instead of harass you. Okay. We're going to try to stimulate you and give you incentive. And the bigger the pie is, we get 52% of it. We want to be as big as possible. As long as you're not outrageously dominating and trying to wreck your neighbor. And I think it. I think they showed it. I talked to Henry Ford yesterday, and he's got problems with the UAW. They say, well, let them settle it themselves, that they know how to handle these things, and that they're responsible. UAW is strong enough to don't require any president to help them. And so let them argue it out. I told them, all right, if they'd go on not ruin my economy, if they stayed out very long, though, I was going to have to tell them to get together.
Yes.
But we've got lots of more serious problems than what we got in Mississippi, and they in the world, Russia and China's getting together this morning, and they're trying to unite, and goddamn, if they've been spitting in each other's face, if they can get together and bring 700 million Chinese with 300 million Russians.
That's a lot of folks.
That's a billion of them right there compared to our 200 million, and if they can bring them together, why, we ought to be able to unite Alabama and Mississippi, and I think we will.
I think we will.
And if the call...